Andor's purpose is revealed. Vanity Fair dives deep into the Star Wars universe. The Rebellion will be televised and more as the Sky Guys are back to break down the latest Star Wars news.
All right, we are back here on the Sky Guys podcast doing a special Star Wars news edition of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Phillips. Normally we have Pete Costore here with us, but Pete was a little busy today, could not hop on for the breaking news. But with me, as always, the great Nick Freya, the Freya of our Star Wars news segments here. Nick, how are you?
Doing well. We usually come on and say, one of the segments that we do, or we just started last week, was Star Wars news. But unfortunately, fortunately, this week it's all Star Wars news. So we're not going to have that segment. We're just going to talk about some news.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the week we originally were planning to drop our Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi preview show. We did have that recorded. It was supposed to go out on Thursday, but we got a big article from Vanity Fair this week giving us a lot of Star Wars news. Probably expand on this at Star Wars Celebration later in the month. I figured, you know what? We have to talk about this right now. We cannot wait until Celebration to get into all these news that came out today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you'll do this, but like for those who are watching on YouTube, like, I'm sure Mike will put the link in the description to this article. This article was so long. I don't think I've ever read an article that long in my life. I was literally, it took me hours to read it.
Yeah.
Like I started reading it at like 9 a.m. this morning and I got to work and then I was like, I had to stop. I had work to do. And then I had a free minute here and there and I'm like, sorry, maybe I'll finish the article. And the next thing I know, I'm just like, this is so, I'm looking at it like, oh my God. And then I didn't finish until like 4 o'clock. It took me like, it honestly took me about 45 minutes straight to read it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the article we'll get to in a minute from Vanity Fair, I think it's their cover story for their June issue. So they got the buzz out early.
That's why it was so long.
Yeah, it was the cover story for their big summer TV issue. They had behind the scenes on all of Star Wars' TV plans. It's a little bit of film plans. We'll get into that in a minute. But before I get started here, Nick, I want to remind everybody, if you like what you're listening to here on the Sky Guys podcast, make sure you subscribe on all of our favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, all the usual suspects. Just search for the Sky Guys there.
All the usual suspects, that's right. Also, you got to follow the Sky Guys Instagram. We do a lot over there. We have a lot of fun over there. And as you can see on the YouTube version, I'm rocking the Sky Guys shirt. If you want to get your own, you have to make it because we don't have any merch. So you can go on one of those sites and make one yourself. We don't have any merch yet.
Yeah, you can DM the Sky Guys Twitter account. We'll tell you the exact font we used on the shirts if you want to do the same style. But like, we do not have a merch shop yet. Maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe someday. That would be nice. But yeah. Huge news. Huge. Not even like that juicy of news, just so much of it.
There is so much of it. And I woke up this morning. I saw this on Twitter, the link, because I actually found this backwards because I found a link to news about the Andor premiere date. And then it led me back to this article. Yeah. And then I sort of read the article like, oh my gosh, this is so much information. So
yeah, so that's kind of where everything came from, because a whole bunch of things came out about Star Wars today. You may have heard the day of recording is May 17th. So you may have heard like
a lot of this news.
Andor stuff, movie stuff, more future show stuff, Ahsoka stuff, Kenobi stuff. The Acolyte, even some Boba, I mean, Mando season 3 stuff, everything was in there. And it's like, well, if you heard any of that news, this is the source of where it all came from.
Yeah, because from what you've seen on the internet here, I mean, all to mention here, you're watching on the YouTube version. Again, Mike Phillips on YouTube. You can check out the video version. I'll have a link. I'll go to the article a few times. I'll throw it on the share screen so Nick and I can show you some key points of it. But a lot of these websites you're seeing, whether it's like TV Line, Everything we get their own stuff. I'll get to one of their stories later, but like a lot of these sites, they're pulling from this article in terms of the stories for today. So like,
yeah, this is the source. This is where it all started.
This is basically like the Magna Carta for Lucasfilm's television right now at Star Wars. Like they,
which I'm just confused about why they decided this needs to all drop today when we have like Celebration coming up. That kind of takes the hype away. Not that it takes, there's a lot of news still at Celebration that I'm expecting, but it kind of, you know, took some of the fire away from that. Same with Marvel. There was a couple of Marvel announcements today. Like there was the She-Hulk trailer. They announced a new show.
Oh, I think Echo they already knew about.
You did?
Yeah, that was out there.
Okay, that's fine then, because I guess they just dropped the trailer today. Not really sure why, but I thought in my mind, Echo was new, and I'm like, why are you dropping all this stuff now? But all right, that's fine.
Yeah, Echo was, we got our first look at Echo. We got what we've heard this show was, and it was in one of the 17 million Marvel prizes going on here. And quick side tangent on Marvel here, Nick. I mean, we both watched Doctor Strange. I don't really understand what they're doing in Phase 4 right now. I feel like it's all over the place.
Well, sorry, what did you say? You said Doctor Strange, and then I didn't understand.
I feel like Phase 4 of Marvel is like all over the place. I don't think they know what they're doing in the concrete direction.
I think they know. It's just, we definitely don't know. Let's put it that way. It's definitely all over the place, though. I did watch Doctor Strange, and we saw it the same day. I thought it was great. I loved it. But I see your point. It was just like all over the place.
Yeah,
and as you had like all these post credit scenes now, this is like going. I think it's because we're at the beginning. Think of this to me like, you know how we say this is Phase 4?
Yeah.
To me, I think of this as Phase 2, if you know what I mean. How Phase 1 led to Phase 2, it led to Phase 3. Now, obviously, 3 led to 4, but it's also like kind of like a reboot of the series, how like the Thanos stuff, the Infinity War is over. So at the beginning in Phase 1, we had all of these like post-credit scenes that we really never got anything from them until years later. I think we're starting over again, and that's why we're not seeing the payoff in these post-credit scenes yet and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, we'll put the Marvel discussion on hold for another day. I'm going to go ahead and throw the breaking news up here for people who want to hear about what we are talking about. So breaking news here. This is the big article of the day. It came from Vanity Fair, the cover story for June. Star Wars, The Rebellion will be televised. An exclusive look for the master plan for Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, Andor, Diego Luna, Ahsoka, Rosario Dawson, and a fleet of new shows. And this cover art is pretty badass, though, on the Vanity Fair.
Can I be the first to say that Diego Luna and Pedro Pascal look exactly the same?
They have the same mustache.
They have the same face. The hair is the only difference, honestly, with them. They look exactly the same.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. We get a lot of stuff in here. I do think that I like some of the shots they gave you, like this shot down here from the Obi-Wan show with Darth Vader, Reva, and Obi-Wan. And then the other shot here, you get Mon Mothma, Andor himself, Mando, and Ahsoka. So they get some good photo shoots for this article.
Yeah, and Mon Mothma is a character that pops back into my head that maybe one of us should have drafted in the Kenobi series. Well, now I think this pretty much confirms she won't be in it, considering she's going to be in Andor, but I think that's a decent, maybe not a decent pick, but it's a character that we probably should have at least mentioned. I don't think she'll be in the show, actually, now that I think about it, because they did the way they mentioned it in Rogue One as if she never met Kenobi, but still an interesting character at that point in the timeline that we maybe should have thought about.
Yeah, I think like it makes sense for her to be in this show because obviously she pops up in Rebels again, and then we see her in the new movie, so in the original trilogy movie, specifically Episode 6. So it makes sense to.
Andor's perfect for her because she was in Rogue One episode. You know, she was in the deleted scene in Revenge of the Sith, but she was in Return of the Jedi. So it just makes sense for her to pop up in that show because the Rebellion is how we know her.
Yeah, absolutely. She's setting up a lot of stuff, and we'll see her sort of the fruits of her labor in Rebels.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go back to I'll go back to this first set of quotes, but if you want to read the whole story, I will link to it in the show notes here. I want to say here, what was your general thought on this whole article as we read it?
At first, I was thinking, okay, it's about how Diego can't mention that he's going to be in Star Wars to people, and it's tough. Fine. No big deal. And then I was like, oh, there's a lot of juicy information here. It's not just like a random story about the actor that, no offense to Diego, I don't really care. No defense to him at all. I just not because of him, I just don't care about any of the actors. But obviously the big takeaway is all the release dates we have now, or not release dates, but we have ideas, we have time frames on when they should be coming out, and that's interesting to me. That is the big takeaway. And then actually our next topic here is my biggest takeaway, which is what you have written down, actually, is that they're going to try to do 3 shows per year.
3 live action shows a year. That's,
right.
That's the target. Does not count Bad Batch or any Visions or any sort of other like non-live action formats. Like, they want to do 3 shows a year. So this feels like we're sort of trying to copy the Marvel TV blueprint, but I think they do the TV a little better than Marvel does.
Yeah, I think so. I like the new Marvel stuff. I think it's pretty good. Like since like WandaVision, some of like the older Marvel stuff was kind of, you know,
hit or miss.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of them. I haven't seen all of them, but they've all been fine. I haven't had any issues with them, but they just don't seem like they're. I don't know. But the only thing I was upset about with the article is there's no mention of Bad Batch. Like, I don't know about you, right now. Without thinking about it, 1 to 10, what do you think of Bad Batch?
Five.
I would say there's a 6. So like, it was pretty good. So like, I want to see more of Bad Batch. I know we're going to, but like, I haven't heard anything, and I don't want to like them to forget about it. Like, I'm sure we'll hear it in Celebration, but
they have a whole.
I want to. Yeah, I want to hear more about it. I want the story to keep going. It was at the very least one thing that Bad Batch has going for it is it's a time. You know, right after the fall of the Republic, that's a really interesting time. And it's just seeing all the different planets and seeing people under the rule of the Empire when it's like fresh and new. It's really interesting to see. So even if the show's not perfect, I do like seeing that stuff.
Yeah, I think the thing with why that wasn't in here was more of a sense that this was sort of just focused on the live action universe. And this is more a case of the mainstream media saying, oh, you know, it's animation. We don't care. I think that's more of the reason why we don't touch on Bad Batch in this article.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't touch on if they're, I think they're doing a second season of Visions too, which we haven't heard anything about either.
I think they're going to probably bring it up at Celebration, be my guess.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that for sure. I think in terms of the 3 live action shows a year, I mean, right now we're on the target for that because we have Book of Boba Fett so far, Obi-Wan, and Andor this year. Next year sounds like it's going to be Mando, Ahsoka, Ack. I'll get to more specific timeline in a second here. Looking at the timetable, the article said here. Obi-Wan, May 27th. We knew that already. Andor late summer. So I'm thinking on that one, what do you think? Probably like late August?
Yeah, so Obi-Wan's final episode is June 22nd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That would lead me to believe now, did they give She-Hulk a date today? Yeah. Maybe they had it already, but it has a date. I believe it's August 17th now.
Yes.
So if they want to run side by side with it, they can, but otherwise... All right. I mean, they have to run side by side with it. Otherwise, it's not going to debut
ever
late summer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're starring Miss Marvel in the middle of the Obi-Wan runs. They're not scared of running a Marvel and Star Wars property.
Yeah. That's probably their first. Maybe, honestly, it could be a test.
Yeah.
It could be let's see how they go if they run them side by side because the Star Wars show is clearly going to beat the Marvel show unless the Star Wars show was Visions and the Marvel show was.
Hawkeye.
A Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man show.
Yeah.
You know? So, but this, you know, so the Marvel show, the Star Wars show is clearly going to win, but is it going to bury the Marvel show that no one watches it? And if that's the case, they might rethink this, and maybe that's why they're not giving us a definitive date on Andor yet. I'm probably wrong. They're probably going to give us a definitive date at Celebration.
Yeah, I would assume it's at Celebration, probably going to get like a teaser trailer and a release date. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. When you think about it, it really doesn't matter because it's streaming. You can just watch. If you're really interested in both, you can watch both. Like
back to back if you want.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about this. When Bad Batch was airing, Monsters at Work was also airing.
Correct.
And I watched every episode of that show as well as Bad Batch. So, I mean, I just finished one and watched the next one. It wasn't a big deal. So, no reason that anyone can't do that.
I believe Loki's also going on during, I think, Bad Batch as well.
I think you're right. Bad Batch lasted a long time.
Yeah. Bad Batch went until, I think, like August.
I'm going to check those dates on this right now. Bad Batch lasted from May 4th to August 13th.
Yeah, because I remember I was at a wedding. I was watching the finale in my hotel like before the wedding.
I wonder, did they do an episode each week for the most part? Except that beginning, they didn't. But
yeah, they had two the first week.
Yeah, two the first week. They had May 4th episode, and then they just stuck with the... the 7th and just stuck with it, but yeah, that's true. Yeah, they did one every week and went all the way to August 13th, so they definitely interfere with Loki.
Yeah, and in terms of the Bad Batch itself, I feel like that timeline sort of gives you a hint that like if they're gonna do it this year, I think it's going somewhere between Obi-Wan and Andor, because otherwise you're running two stars at the same time. I don't think they want to do.
Unless they do it after Andor.
Because if Andor is 12 episodes and they do it late August, means you're basically running it until November.
Oh, you're saying if Andor's every week, it's going to be until November, then you won't have time to do it, and it'll interfere with possibly our next show, which is
Mandalorian.
Mando season 3.
And they're not holding Mando season 3 to finish Bad Batch. If it's ready.
Of course not. Yeah.
I think what you could see happen here is maybe they have a split release model where they do it in two batches. I still think that, I theorized that a few times. I think you could do that where maybe you, if it's 16 episodes, you do 8, then you do another 8, I think, after, somewhere down the road.
I think it's also just that show and these animated shows in general. Like, we've said this countless times when we watched The Clone Wars for our reruns here. When you watch The Clone Wars and we rewatch it, it's good. We like it, you know? But we get to a bad arc, it sucks. When you get to a bad arc in live television, it's a month of bad television. Yeah. So maybe it's time that they start doing, like you said, 8. And maybe you do 2 a week. Make it a 4-week thing and then a 4-week thing later in the year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, what's going on with that. I think, like, you could do it where you, if you drop it in batches where you could say, oh, you know, here's the Bad Batch for like a month. If you do like 2 a week, like do 2 a week for like 4 weeks. Then you come back again, do 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and you're done. You have 16 episode season.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of that one. So it's the full timeline here. Mando, they are labeling season 3 right now. We'll probably get more clarification at the Disney celebration. Is late 2022, early 2023, which to me reads like, you're not getting earlier that Book of Boba Fett slot where you get like one episode in the last week of the year and then the rest going into the start of 2023.
Yeah, then you get, I think you get the same thing. I also have a bold prediction that one of the surprises at Celebration will be a Boba Fett season 2 announcement.
Yeah, if they're trying to do 3 seasons, 3 shows a year, I think you have to have Boba Fett in the mix.
Yeah, and look, we didn't hate the show, right? Did you hate the show?
No, it was just...
Do you regret watching it?
No, there were episodes.
No, it was a good show. It was fine. I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm probably not going to go back and rewatch it, but it was a fine show. I enjoyed it, and I had a great time discussing it with you and Pete here.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, subscribers are way up on Disney Plus, and people watched that show like crazy. So whether or not they liked it or whatever, the majority of people, I think, did like it, and it did make a lot of money, and they loved it. So they're going to do it again, probably.
Yeah, Book of Boba Fett was one of the top streaming shows. It was even beating some of the Marvel shows that were going on at the same time.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't love the show, but I didn't hate it by any means. I liked it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it was pretty good, and I'd be more than happy to see a second season, even though I think, you know, we had issues with the finale, and we talked about this on the podcast here. I would love to see a second season.
Yeah, I think we'll get one. I think, like, that might be 2024. You get the second Book of Boba Fett season. I think you are going to get one. So they're going to try and do this 3 show a year model. And you're not going to be able to do a Mando season every year at the rate that the show is produced.
They could possibly do a thing where you go back and forth, or not necessarily saying that Mando and Boba are the only two in that universe, but you can maybe get something for Boba out in this same window next year, meaning like December 23
into 24.
Yeah, you could do that if they really wanted to.
Yeah, certainly a possibility here. The other ones we have here, Ahsoka will be after Mando, which is 2023, which means maybe around this Obi-Wan slot, maybe a little later. And The Acolyte, which hasn't started filming yet, probably the next one to film after Ahsoka, will be late 2023. So that's our relative timetable of the shows for the next 2 years, not counting Bad Batch.
Yeah, we got a little more information on The Acolyte, I feel like,
yeah,
which is nice.
It is. We hadn't heard there's nothing about it, so we will go ahead and... We're going to go through a little bit on what we learned about all these shows here. We'll start with Andor, which basically led the article off. We got a little bit of information here. Basically, it's described as a refugee story here. And I'm trying to go down into the article, see what happens here. Basically, the story begins with the destruction of Andor's birth world and follows him to the old Deltoid when he realizes he can't run forever. His adopted home will become the base of our whole first season. We watch this place become radicalized, Gilroy says. We see other planets completely taken apart in a colonial kind of way. The Empire expanded rapidly. Well, I mean, everyone is in their way. By journey's end, Andor's path will be to block there. So that's the Cassian Andor angle. So, like,
I thought that was a lot. Didn't you feel like they kind of like gave it away? Like, that was a lot. When I read that, I was like, oh, they're kind of just telling us everything.
They're telling you where he's going to end up in the season. But, like, I don't know, like, what he's going to do to get there. But, like, it makes, right. Considering he's, like, not really, like, involved in the rebellion at that point, like, it can make sense. And I think the fact we have the Mon Mothma storyline going on as well gives you something else to cover 12 episodes worth of content.
I think it'd be really foolish if they didn't bring K2SO in for that. I think he was fantastic. It's Alan Tudyk, right? I don't know how I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, I don't think he's in the first season, though. I don't think they're going to have him run into him yet.
Maybe he could meet him at the end of the first season or something and have him reprogrammed or something, because he was really, he honestly stole the show in Rogue One. So I think it was really, it's important to get him in there if they could.
Because I remember correctly, he was initially on the cast list and they announced the show. And then he said something like, they changed the direction of the story and his character is not in it yet. So maybe they went earlier than what they're going to start with.
They probably should, honestly, do something like that to not have him. Kind of like how you know you had the Han Solo movie come out, and you know Chewie was in it obviously, but he didn't know Chewie in the beginning. It's showing their meeting is a good thing. It's something that people want to see. So that's a good route to go.
Yeah, I also will mention here. Let's talk about the story of Mon Mothma, played by Genevieve O'Reilly, who portrays a young senator, Revenge of the Sith, that reprises the role of Rogue One. Mothma, original trilogy played Caroline Blakiston, was the priest-like figure in 1983's Return of the Jedi, who outlines weaknesses in the new Death Star, gravely intoning, many Bothans died to bring us information. In Andor, her story will run parallel to the title character, whom we know will eventually become one of her key agents. It's a huge orchestral Dickensian ensemble cast, says Gilroy. So, you'll see a lot of characters in this show, it sounds like.
Yeah, sounds cool. They really went all out with explaining it, I feel like, but... I'm excited. I've always been excited for Andor. It seems like the show that's like, yeah, it may not be the one that, like, everyone's got their calendar marked for Kenobi. Like, people have gone nuts for this show. People have been waiting for this show for years. But Andor is kind of the one that I feel like is going to slide under the radar and just be a good Star Wars show and just give us a good story and give us what we want as Star Wars fans, which is just more information on characters. Like Pete always says, like, anything I can learn more about a character or the universe, like, I'm in. And I feel like we're going to get that, a lot of that, with Rogue One, and get to see more of the dark side of the Rebels that we saw in Rogue One. And honestly, I think it's safe to say that since the acquisition, meaning Disney of Lucasfilm, that the one thing that fans can pretty much universally agree on, besides the ending of the Clone Wars being great, was Rogue One was awesome.
Yes.
And people want to see more of that.
Yeah, they do. I do feel like I think based on what we're talking about, this huge cast here, I think Saw Gerrera is a lock to show up in this show, and they'll get Forrest Whitaker in it somewhere. I think you're going to see maybe you get like a Bail Organa. You could have some of the Rebels characters like come in live action here, maybe they run into Andor and his travels, because remember, a lot of them are not like tied to Mon Mothma yet, so maybe they run into Cassian.
Yeah, do you think we can get Krennic also?
You could.
Do you think it's possible that they knew each other? Because it didn't seem like they didn't know each other. Just, you know?
Yeah.
They never really touched on their relationship at all. And he was a great figure. He's a very popular actor. Ben Mendelsohn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He was in Bloodline, most famously.
Yes, I watched that show. Yeah, he was Danny.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's a pretty good actor. So, I think he'd be good to see him again. Wasn't he in Batman also?
I think he was.
I'm pretty sure he was in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I think that's...
I'm pretty sure he was in the opening scene of The Dark Knight Rises on the plane.
Yeah. It sounds about right.
I think.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the end or stuff. I'm sure we'll get more celebration about that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a little piece of behind-the-scenes nugget here to King with the story that was interesting. It's basically... that when they were rebooting the TV situation here, that they sort of realized, you know, we screwed up with the sequel trilogy by having this plan to have the three different directors originally. And obviously you have the JJ writing 7, and then you have story for 8, Ryan Johnson went his own way. Then they backtracked for 9, led to a mishmash and mess. They said, we need sort of a architect for the TV shows to sort of be the grandmaster of this universe here. And they settled on Jon Favreau because he brings Iron Man to the universe, an accessible movie, he plays a big part of the beginnings of the MCU. So I think, we look at that logic here. I thought it was fun reading about that and sort of how they made him, they had him meet up with Filoni and how the concept of the child was born. That's all stuff. It's fun. You take a deep dive into the article, read all about that.
Definitely. I just have a question.
Yeah.
If you are the president of Lucasfilm, that would make your name Kathleen Kennedy, correct?
Yeah.
Why isn't that your job to oversee it? Isn't that Kevin Feige's job?
Well, I think
the president at Marvel Studios.
Well, I think Kevin Feige's more of a creative than she is. I think she's more of a business person.
Okay, I guess. I just feel like that. I just don't like how it took us until, when did they start making these shows? I think probably 2018, 2017 is when they started making them, right?
You know, I think in the article, it basically says that after Last Jedi, she realized, oh, we have to make sure we get the TV shows correct and have somebody coming in to just do the whole thing. That's what they get.
Yeah, I think as more time passes, more things just come out. I keep hearing more and more and more about the sequel trilogy, more honestly, specifically The Last Jedi, but more or less the sequel trilogy and just things that even Disney is admitting, oh, we messed that up. We messed this up. We messed that up. We didn't realize this. We didn't know that. And it's just like, I just don't understand how a multi-billion dollar company can mess things up like that.
Yeah, we'll get to a big one later on where I think they have the wrong takeaway for why they messed up in one specific area. But I think that's interesting to note here. I did think the Favreau-Filoni relationship, I thought, obviously, I recommend read the article again. The stuff that he has about working with Dave Filoni, how they came up with the child, how they both had ideas for shows on Mandalorian, that was interesting. They both were running similar ideas at the same time. I thought that was fascinating.
That was very interesting. I mean, I think it's a gold mine. It's such a cool concept in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it 1,000 times with Boba Fett, how he was a nameless character. Actually, we found out later he did have a name for the holiday special. I didn't know that, but basically a nameless character in Empire Strikes Back. Went from saying his name like twice in Return of the Jedi, and that was it, to creating an entire race of people, a planet, a whole culture, armor, a whole show, everything around that. So, like, it's something that people want to see a lot of. I feel like people are really interested in two things in Star Wars, like stuff we don't really know much about, and that is, you know, Bounty Hunters, Mandalorians, which we're now learning a lot about the last couple of years, and Sith. And we're getting that with these shows, and Sith, I think we might get in another show.
Yeah, we'll see some Sith stuff going on here. And I want to talk also about the... Another interesting thing that came out here was, obviously, I mean, there's a lot. This is a very dense arc. Talk about the tech here, but I want to get into the Obi-Wan specific angle we're looking at here. Whereas involved them going back to, we talked about the backstory about the Obi-Wan film and how Ewan McGregor was the executive producer, and then they rewrote the original story after Solo bombed, the tournament TV show, and then we get a bit about Hayden Christensen was pitched to return to the franchise, and the way that Deborah Chow described it was a lot of fun. And I think that the guy, quote from Hayden Christensen here, said that this is a character as it come to define my life in so many ways. I was originally hired as there's a portion of this person's life. Most of my work is done with Anakin. Now I get to come back and explore Darth Vader. He also has a lot of conversations with Deborah about wanting to convey this feeling of strength, also coupled with imprisonment. There's this power and vulnerability. I think it's an interesting space to explore. So I think it's interesting that Hayden Christensen is so fired to get a different aspect of his character explored here.
Yeah, that's awesome to see. And it really is nice to see him getting, you know, more respect from the Star Wars fans. I don't really think, regardless of a character, regardless of an actor, they should ever be ridiculed or mocked on the internet or in public, in real life, whatever it may be. Went from him, from Jar Jar to Jake Lloyd to him to the Kelly, whatever her name is in the sequel trilogy, who played Rose.
Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah, it should never happen. Even sometimes the actors do suck, but you know what? They should never attack a person for that. You can attack the writing, because,
or the directing.
You know, you can attack the writing or the directing. Which, if you think about it, and you do that, you're still attacking an individual because one person made that decision. But it's not the point.
Yeah,
the point is these people are just doing their job. They're hired to act in Star Wars, and who in their right mind would say no to that?
Yeah, no one would. If they offered you a chance to be in Star Wars, you would jump in a second.
I would. Harrison Ford would not, but I would.
If you get Harrison Ford enough money, he would come back.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he came back for two of the three sequel movies. You know, like, he said he never wanted to
do the franchise again. He did.
Yeah. Also, one thing Nugget I want to point out here is, like, something we didn't get to mention because this article came out after we recorded the preview show is Deborah Chow's for a reason on why Vader could always have the rematch, because she was the one who pushed for it. She said here, I felt like it was quite hard to not include the person who left Kenobi self anguish in the series. She said it's a love story dynamic with these two that goes through the whole thing. When it triggers the idea, despite what Vader become, Kenobi might still care deeply about him. I don't know how you could not, she says. I don't think we'll ever not care about him. What's special about their relationship is that they loved each other. So I think she feels like that this would sort of add meaning to that line from episode 4 that we talked about in the prequel show of, oh, is this going to be a problem? It's retconned.
Yeah, and I like how they I'm not sure if the quote was from her, but if, or maybe someone else, but they said in the article that when we make these decisions, we have debates in the story room about whether or not this is going to impact the future negatively or positively in Star Wars. And that's something that, honestly, I feel like they haven't done in the past. And I don't think they did that in the sequel trilogy. I think they gave JJ and Ryan the keys to the kingdom and said, do what you want.
Yeah, and then when Ryan got backlash, they said, oh, no, Colin Trevorrow, you have to do what we want. And he ran away, and they got J.J. Brack to try.
And then J.J. said, yeah, you can, you know, do what we say, but you have some say kind of thing. And now it's like, all right, we have to make this make sense and be logical going forward, because we can't just throw things at the wall and hope they, you know, and hope it sticks anymore, because it's eventually not going to.
Yeah, it won't.
And you saw that. You saw that with the sequels already. You know, people don't want to admit it, I think. But when you look at these movies, regardless if you think they're good or bad, when you are the finale of the Star Wars saga, which at the time it was labeled as the end, we knew TV stuff was coming and we already had some Mando stuff. But we, in our mind, that was the last movie. And you make less money than the previous movie. There's a huge, huge mistake. Revenge of the Sith. Look at the money it made compared to Attack of the Clones. People wanted to see that epic conclusion. We want to see, how did he turn into Vader? What happened? What happened? When people didn't want to see The Rise of Skywalker, you messed up.
Yeah.
When I saw Solo on opening night and the theater was one third full, you messed up.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I never saw Solo theaters. I just like was not, it never grabbed me, the trailer.
That's a big problem. Yeah. I mean, now you would, because now you are a member of the Sky Guys.
Yes. Now it would be going
to everything. Now you're a super fan.
Yes.
But just to say, but back to, I remember going, I used to go with a group of people. We used to see all the movies. We just saw Doctor Strange together, same guys, but we saw Force Awakens together.
Rogue One.
We saw Rogue One together. We saw The Last Jedi together. And opening night, too, every time. Opening night, the Thursday night, usually down in New Rock City, we'd go. Nice theater there. I don't know if you've been to the RPX theater there. It's amazing. The seats are so nice. We used to go. We'd go to Buffalo Wild Wings before. We'd go to the movie. We would discuss it. Always. We had a great time. It was always a lot of fun. And then when we went to see Solo, everyone was just like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to go. I ended up going with one person out of the usual five.
Yeah.
And then we walked out of that theater and we're just like, telling other people, did you see it? And they're like, no, I didn't see it. Maybe I'll go tomorrow or something. Because it was one of those movies you didn't need to buy tickets for in advance. You could just go to the ticket window and say, I'll take two to Solo.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
And to me, one of the reasons for that, I think, was the release date. I think they should have had it in December. I think it would have been better. I think the December thing actually really caught on with people, and people were enjoying that. It was like a tradition to see Star Wars the week before Christmas. But the other reason is everyone walked out of that theater in The Last Jedi, and half the audience was like, that was great. Half the audience was like, that was awful.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Regardless, you know, you can argue who's right, who's wrong. It doesn't matter. Half people think your movie is bad. It's a problem.
Yeah, and you want to know my specific reason why I did not end up seeing Solo in theaters?
I would love to.
Because it was planned. Like, a mutual friend of ours, Dan Pasalocka, and I were planning to go see that. But this came out at the same month as one Avengers Infinity War. And that's saw that first. I said to Dan, like, you know what? Like, Infinity War was so good. Let's go see that. And I went to Infinity War a second time instead of going to see Solo.
I can't remember if I saw Infinity War more than once in theaters, or Endgame for that matter. I can't remember, but I know I saw all of the Star Wars movies, the Disney ones, more than once in theaters, with the exception of The Rise of Skywalker. I've only seen it that one time in theaters. I have not seen it since.
Yeah.
But I saw The Force Awakens maybe six times in theaters. I saw The Last Jedi, I think, three times, twice maybe.
Yeah.
And I think I saw Rogue One like five times in theaters. And Solo, I think I saw it twice, but The Rise of Skywalker, I only saw once.
Yeah, Infinity War I went to twice, and I think that was based on that watch I watched Solo, I feel like that was a good decision.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I saw Infinity War opening night. Yeah, Solo came out 2 weeks after it.
Yeah, I saw it about 3 weeks later, because I was going to go see Solo like the second weekend, then we decided, you know, we'll go to Infinity War.
You saw Infinity War a second time instead. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Yep. I don't really understand the timing of that. Do you think, so it was 2018, so we need to get the exact day so I can be exact with this. Do you think if this movie was released on December 14th, 2018, it would have performed better in the box office.
I don't know. It depends what else was up there against it, because that movie also
that's a good point.
Did not grab people at that time as it did.
Now, I think it would have done better, but I can't say how much. But, you know, it lost the money. It literally lost the money. It was a net negative movie.
It killed the anthology films.
And it killed the anthology films, which I actually think it was a good thing that it did. But it killed the anthology films. And I'll be honest with you, I liked the movie.
Yeah,
I like Solo.
Yeah, we're going to get to Solo in a minute here. I'll throw that out here. We'll go to Ahsoka real quick. We have an Ahsoka update on this show. Not a ton. It's coming in 2023. We basically got confirmation that the Grand Admiral Thrawn storyline she hinted at in Mando Season 2, the one from Rebels, is going to continue. The only thing I think I should take a note here is that Dave Filoni, who's basically running that show, basically said that this is not going to be a Mando sort of thing where she's going off and doing like these one-off adventures and then slowly moving the plot forward. It's going to be like a continual serialized storyline going straight through and sort of doing the best of what people love from her in Clone Wars.
Which is nice. And we had our hopes up in Boba Fett thinking that Thrawn was going to be the big bad who made an appearance in some sort of post-credit scene or an ending. And we were unfortunately mistaken. So I would still like to see that. See Thrawn as a big bad in a Mandoverse type thing. But honestly, we talked about this, or I went off on a rant on this actually in the Boba Fett finale show, that I don't think that's going to happen. I think Thrawn is just the villain of this show and that's it. I don't think we're doing a Mandoverse. I think it's just the Mandalorian. And then here's a couple other shows for you to hold you over while we make another season of the Mandalorian. Although I would love to see a team up with Boba and Mando and Ahsoka and Bo-Katan, wherever that leads, and whoever else we meet along the way in these journeys, and have them team up against Thrawn and some sort of army. That would be great to see, almost like a mini Avengers thing. But I don't think that's the way they're going, and I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope they are too. And the next point here is we get this quote. I got to go back to the big screen for this, because this is about Solo, and this bothered me no end when I read this in the article. I want to get your take on it. This is a quote from Kathleen Kennedy, where they obviously are talking about the whole situation where we're deepfaking Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. And she says, the article says, bring Luke to life now, a team sport, but tech has limitations. So does recasting. The 2018 Solo explored Han Solo's younger years with Alden Ehrenreich taking on the role of the smuggler originated by Harrison Ford. Phil has admirers, but made less of the box office than any other live-action Star Wars movie. Solo swag may be too singular for another actor to replicate. There should be moments along the way when you learn things, says Kennedy. Now it does seem so abundantly clear that we can't do that. So they are taking the failure of Solo, the movie, as a reason why they cannot recast any of the original characters, which to me, I think, is the wrong takeaway from that movie.
I agree. I think the problem with that movie is it's something that nobody asked for.
And the
nobody asked for Han Solo's backstory, so no one really wanted to see it. It didn't grab anyone's attention because of the timing of the release date. And I also think that it was after The Last Jedi, and people think that Star Wars was played out and dull and stale. So it was a combination of many things. But on top of everything, I think the main thing was no one really cared. Yeah. It had nothing to do with the actor. And I think he didn't, you know, he wasn't great. He wasn't fine. Perfect, but he did a fine job. He didn't do anything wrong as Han Solo.
No, like he was fine. Like I said, he's like a solid like B-level performance. But like to me, it's like he's not why the movie didn't land. Like, and their takeaway, it sounds like, is, oh, we didn't find the right guy to replay Han Solo, so no one else to play Han Solo except for Harrison Ford.
You know what it reminds me of, honestly?
What's that?
The 2021/2022 Los Angeles Lakers. They bombed. They needed to find a reason. Who's the easiest person to blame? Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
Who's the easiest person to blame?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah, because you don't have to see him ever again. So he's the easiest person to blame. And honestly, he's a scapegoat.
Yeah. He is a scapegoat in this one. I think, honestly, it was also a bit of Star Wars fatigue, because at that point you had 2015, you had a movie. 2016, you had Rogue One. 2017, you had The Last Jedi, the most polarized one ever. 6 months later, you got another Star Wars movie. I think at that point you had a little Star Wars fatigue from the movie audience, especially after The Last Jedi was not popular with the audience.
Yeah. Like I said, first off, you have fatigue, even people who did like it. I know many people who liked The Last Jedi who weren't even there for opening night for Solo. And then you had people who didn't like it, who were just like, oh, I don't want to see another Star Wars, and they killed it for me. So you're looking at maybe 30% of your audience who's actually interested. Because half of them don't want to see it because they didn't like the last movie. And then the people who did like it, you have half of them who don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like I said, my theater was one third full on opening night for that movie.
Yeah. That movie seems to be the turning point for them in terms of, like, they killed the anthology films. They're terrified to recast, which means I think you're never going to see the character of Leia again if they're going to operate under this mentality.
Yeah, never going to see.
Unless it's very young Leia, you're not going to see like a adult age.
Yeah. Except unless it's like for a second, like Rogue One was technically played by somebody. I don't know who it was, but.
Yeah, they reuse audio from Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, they use audio and they did some sort of deep fake, and they did their best, I guess. It was pretty rough, to be honest with you. I remember leaving Rogue One and reading online that people thought the CGI was horrible. I thought that Leia looked awful. I agree. But I thought Tarkin looked great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree or disagree. I thought Tarkin looked fantastic in Rogue One.
Yeah, I like Tarkin better. I don't think that the takeaway here is that we can't recast. I think the takeaway here should be make a better movie. Or make a movie people care about.
Nah, I'm with you. Yeah, all right, same thing. You gave Bad Batch a 5 out of 10. What would you give Solo?
I gave it like, I think on my rankings, I think it was like 8.
Eight out of the movies, not like 8 out of 10, right?
Yeah, 8 out of 11 on the movies.
Okay, so I think it was like a 7 movie, I would say, 7.5 maybe. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I liked it. No, you know, but it wasn't interesting. It wasn't something that people cared about.
Yeah, it's not.
No, I'll also be honest with you. I kind of said this to our friend Mike Brescia when we left the theater. I said to him, if Maul wasn't in that movie, would you even like it?
Yeah.
And we didn't really have an answer from me. I think it's possible that was the only reason I liked it.
It's possible. I gave it about a 5.5, in my opinion.
Let me ask you this. If I leave a theater and say to my buddy, who's a big Star Wars fan as well, I wouldn't like a movie if it wasn't for a 1-minute scene at the end featuring a character, don't you think it would be a good idea to do something with that character?
You would think.
So maybe make a show or a movie about him and people would watch it. I guarantee it. I guess a show, because they're not really going to do movies based on individual characters anymore, I don't think. I don't think that would go well.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but...
Give us a Maul show. Give us something with the Sith.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll get the Sith in our next project here, which is The Acolyte. We finally got more information on that one, and we'd heard basically sort of like a spy thriller in the High Republic era. Now we get more of a definitive timeline that's going to be set 100 years before The Phantom Menace. Basically, the idea here is we're exploring the Republic at a time where the Jedi are basically keeping the peace. They're wearing these fancy gold and white robes that never get dirty. They don't have to fight anybody, and... We're sort of setting the seeds here, basically, to the thing that I like the director talk about this is I said, how do we get to a point where we get to the Phantom Menace and you have a Sith Lord running the set and the Jedi don't even notice? And we're going to start looking at the beginnings of that here. I think that's a fun idea. It's sort of.
That's amazing. And for those listening, if you didn't notice, I mentioned the Sith thing on purpose because I knew this was coming next. So I let Mike have a perfect transition into that. Yeah. But this show sounds awesome. I'm really excited for this show now. And from what I've heard is that I need to start reading the High Republic novels. And I might, honestly. I'm not much of a reader, not much of a novel reader, but from what I've heard, first off, I got to read those because they take place in this timeline. But I've also learned and read that I've heard this from a very famous person on YouTube. His name is Star Wars Theory. Most people have heard of him. He's like probably the most popular Star Wars YouTube person there is. He said on his podcast that the books are like incredible since Disney took over. He's like, I just didn't understand. He's like, I don't understand how, but since Disney started making these books, they've all been amazing. And it's maybe something that I want to get into a little bit and start reading those books. And it makes me ask, well, clearly who writes a book? A writer, right? An author. Why don't they just get these people to write the movies?
Yeah, well, the movies is a whole other issue, but I'm excited for this show. Cause I mean, obviously I think, you get Yoda in it because you're looking at the Republic 100 years before
Phantom Menace. Yoda will be there. You're not going to see Palpatine, but you're going to see Plagueis, I guess, right? Well,
you could see Palpatine. He could be very young.
Well, if it's 100, he's not 100 though.
Well, that's true. Like maybe you'll see Sith like running around like.
Yeah. So Palpatine, I believe, is 84
when he dies.
No, he's 84 when he He's 84 when the Battle of Yavin. So he's like 16 years younger than this. That makes sense. He's born in 84 BBY. I'm assuming this takes place in 100 BBY based on, I mean, I guess, or maybe a little bit before that, maybe 120 BBY, because it's supposed to be before
100 years, 100 years before Phantom Menace. So like this is about 30 years
before. This is 130 BBY then, 132 actually.
Yeah, so this is well before he's born.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's got another 50 years to go, but you could see a young Plagueis. But then again, we don't know anything about Plagueis, do we?
No, not really.
We don't even know. We don't even know what he looks like.
I mean, I've seen like legend stuff that says like he's one of those like banking clan kind of guys. Like
yeah, the legend stuff shows him as that. The canon, there's like a one like picture of him, and that's about it. And it's not even really a picture. It's like
a silhouette, maybe.
Yeah, it's a silhouette almost of him, and that's all we really know of what he looks like. So, yeah. Well, I think he just kind of looks like a normal, person. But
we'll see.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see him. I think we're gonna see Yoda, and I mean, I guess they can show Yaddle. He's probably been that age too. But other than that, I think we're gonna explore a new territory in Star Wars, which I know a lot of people have been asking for. People have been saying, can we get Star Wars that's outside of the Skywalkers?
And this one shot way up my interest level after reading this arc. I'm like, I'm very excited.
Yes,
for this.
Me too. But I do have one thing that I'm nervous about. Not with this show, but in the future, if you get away from the Skywalkers too much, so this is fine because you're still going to give us something that, okay, this is what happens then. You're still connecting the story. If you go to a completely other universe and start a whole new story with new characters that has nothing to do with the originals or the prequels or whatever, I don't think people are going to be interested. People aren't going to care.
You got to like build. You have to build to that. We have to like.
Build a whole new universe for that. Like the thing that makes Mando so great is like, okay, Mando's a good show. People like it, but Baby Yoda's there. Oh, he's related to Yoda. He was in the Jedi Temple, and he was in this. And Bo-Katan's there. She was part of the Clone Wars. And there's Ahsoka. And there's Luke. And you know, and there's Boba Fett. Like if you didn't have any of that stuff, Mando would be fine. But would you really care as much? Like if it was a completely new thing, like personally, I didn't like Visions, but I don't think Visions was bad. It's just not for me. I don't like anime. But I think Visions also struggled for me to get into it because it had nothing to do with what we know. And it's just like, I don't really know how this affects anything. Like to me, Star Wars is one big story. And if you're going to do another one, then you're making Star Wars 2.0.
Yes.
And that's going to be really hard.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the next project here, this is the new one we had not heard about before. It's just a working title right now called Grammar Rodeo. It's a show set in the post-Return of the Jedi era. They're casting a bunch of teenagers to have a coming-of-age story. Directed, the show is being run by John Watts, who famously did the Spider-Man trilogy for Marvel. So Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home. He's the lead guy on that. So,
all right, so what do you take away from coming-of-age adventure? What does that mean to you?
I think it means to me, I feel like this is sort of code for like, we're seeing some of these, like at least one of the kids we're getting in the show is going to end up being one of the Jedi gets trained by Luke.
So what exactly is a coming of age story?
Sort of like how like Tom,
someone who grows up during it.
I would say like sort of like somebody who like, basically becomes an adult, like in this weird universe we're seeing. Sort of like how Tom Holland, Spider-Man sort of becomes like a big boy superhero by the end of Homecoming.
So I'm a big Star Wars fan. So when I see this, and I see post-Return of the Jedi casting teens, my mind goes, okay, what year is that in the Star Wars universe? And who could be a teen? Or who could be a young kid? And if it's post-Return of the Jedi, it doesn't say how post. It could be 1 year, it could be 10. It could be 12. If it's 12, I have an answer.
Ben Solo.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I think we're going to stay away from Ben Solo. I feel we get like a couple of different characters in this.
That would be nice. I think it might be time, though, for them to test the waters and say, okay, we know that the sequel trilogy was polarizing, to say the least.
Yes.
But we've done all these shows now with Boba and Mando. And by this point, you know, at the point, by the time this comes out, they're going to have a show on Boba, Mando, Obi-Wan, Andor, Ahsoka, the Acolyte, right?
Yes, all that.
Let's take one chance. Let's do one show with a sequel era. If it performs much worse, then we know we can't do it again and we'll just stop. But if it works, then maybe we can start building on that more.
Yeah, I think this one I'm intrigued by. I'm glad that John Watts attaches because he did a good job this kind of thing in Spider-Man, because he did a good job like having Tom Collins' character go through these growing pains and sort of grow up and become a compelling like character in the MCU. Putting him here, I'm excited to see what he can do with this.
Also, do not anyone, Mike, or anyone else listening, Pete, when you're listening later, do not take the working title for granted. It means nothing.
No, I believe Return of the Jedi was really called Blue Harvest.
Yeah, they don't mean anything. That's why you're right, and that's why the Family Guy thing is called Blue Harvest, the first Family Guy episode. The first Family Guy Star Wars episode, that is.
Yeah, it's a code, basically. They use the production not to give away what they're doing.
Well, here's an example of that. Perfect one is the Nintendo GameCube. The code name was Dolphin.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with a dolphin in a GameCube. Actually, there is something. If you hold all the buttons or something and you turn the system on, it makes dolphin noises when the thing goes around in a circle.
Yeah.
Just like a little Easter egg. But the working title means nothing. It never does. It's just a way to hide from the audience what it means.
Yeah, it's until they were ready to reveal information, they don't give you the actual title.
Yeah, and it means nothing either. It's just, what can we say that's random? It's not like they're going to say force wielder. It's about a force user. No, it's completely, there's two random words or one random word that they just use as a code name. That's all.
Yeah, that's all the TV shows in the article. The last thing here is the movies. We got finally an update on the movies here. I thought this was interesting that apparently the Taika Waititi Star Wars film is supposed to be the one they're coming first, which I had no idea that was the order that they anticipated being done in.
Yeah, I thought the Rogue Squadron movie would come first, if ever. I've been on record saying that I think it's going to be many years. I still think it's going to be at least 2 years from now.
Yeah, because they said it's second, which means if this movie was, I think, has shot a scene yet, hasn't started yet, we're not getting 2023 Rogue Squadron. It's getting pushed back again.
Yeah, if the first movie hasn't, I mean, if you started filming a movie now, I don't think it can come out until Christmas of next year.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're seeing a movie at the earliest until Christmas 2024.
Yeah. I think the type, it's like a thing, the Feige movie, we talked about this. It said, it basically, Kevin had no soul and said, hey, like, they're working on it. We'll see if they come with anything good. So it's not guaranteed to be made.
But that's not how I took her quote, actually. My quote, the quote that I saw from her was more of a, we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, because, like, maybe Feige gets too busy. Maybe he and Walter don't come up with something they like. Like, it's possible, too.
Yep.
That's also, they said the long rumored Rian Johnson trilogy has been basically backburned because he's busy on other projects. And I don't think they're too eager to rush him back into it.
I don't think they're lying also. I think it's simple as they had all these plans beforehand, saw the backlash, and they really don't want to. It's hard. It's a billion-dollar corporation. You're not going to go out and say, yeah, we scrapped it because people didn't like him and this and that. But they know people are going to ask about it kind of thing. So I think they're just using that as a thing to buy some time. Like, yeah, it's back there. But in reality, I don't think there's any chance we ever see it.
I think they have no plans of going back to Rian Johnson. They're just hiding behind how busy he is. So, you know, like, it's there. We'll get to it eventually, but it's there.
Yeah, and eventually it'll go away. And they're going to try their best to not make it a story that it goes away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And out of respect to him and everybody, honestly, there's no reason to put that bad PR.
Yeah, and they said they're trying to shift away from doing movie trilogies to persistent storytelling. So I don't know exactly what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but I have said for a long time it doesn't have to be a trilogy. Why can't it just be two movies, one movie, four movies? It doesn't have to be three every time.
Yeah, I mean, probably the best movie of the last five is in Rogue One.
Yeah.
And it was a solo movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last point on this is why can't you have both?
Yeah.
Why can't you only have a persistent storytelling or a trilogy? Why can't you have a trilogy with persistent storytelling?
Yeah.
Why is it mutually exclusive to have a trilogy that makes sense?
Well, I don't think she's a Kevin Feige, to say that much.
No, I guess not. And you know, she does. She does have a decent resume. It's not like Star Wars is the only thing that she's done, and she came out of nowhere. Like, she's done other stuff.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, like, for some reason, they seem to have an idea of, like, what they want to do on the TV side, which has been why they have so much stuff coming here, but they cannot get their act together on the movies.
Yeah, because there's... I don't know. I don't know why, actually. I really don't... No, I really don't... I don't know. I really can't explain it. I wish there was a reason. I wish there was something that I can say and be like, oh, that's why, because... When they do a movie, actually, I think I have one possible guess. You want to take a crack at it too when I'm done?
Yeah, sure.
I'll take a crack. My crack is maybe on the TV end, they have someone like Favreau and Filoni, and they're not really involved in the movies as much because they kind of give the keys to somebody and say, here, run that. Here, take, here you go. Run this however you want. And then it doesn't work out because you're hiring someone who's into movies, not necessarily into Star Wars. That's not to say that J.J. Abrams or even Rian Johnson aren't Star Wars fans. I'm sure they like Star Wars. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. But you need to give the keys to somebody who's a Star Wars guy, like Filoni, and say, you're overseeing this. Okay, now you bring in, I don't know, Sam Raimi. I'm just picking up random director. So you direct the movie, but he's going to tell you how it's supposed to go, kind of thing.
Yeah. They're having, yeah, because like a lot of these, I feel like a lot of these movies have been connected to like, oh, you know, this one wants to do a Star Wars movie. This big director wants a Star Wars movie. And then all of a sudden they're gone because it feels like they do not give them enough creative control to do what they want.
But you know what? I'm fine with that because they shouldn't give them creative control because just because you're a movie director does not mean you understand this universe. And this universe is, honestly, it's a movie universe. Absolutely. But it's sacred to a lot of people, us included. When you mess with it, you get people annoyed, you get pissed off. They don't want to see it anymore. Like this, to a lot of people, myself included, yourself included, these are more than just movies. They're not just I'm going to see a movie or there's a show. It's something that really, it's a big part of our lives.
Yeah, this is not like going to see the Fast and the Furious.
Right. And this is not like going to see any of those movies. And in my opinion, like Avatar, I don't understand that movie at all, but people like it. But to me, this is completely different.
And this next movie for them is critical because after we had that stretch of three in a row of Last Jedi, audience hated it. Solo, the audience was very mad on it. Rise of Skywalker, everyone knows was terrible. Like
even talk about Rise of Skywalker.
Like they cannot come out with another dud for a movie. They have to make sure. That's why it's taking so long also because they have ideas, but they don't think they have an idea they really love yet.
Yeah. I agree. I think they understand that now, and I really hope if they ever decide to get back into movies, like besides what we have listed here, that like I like Taika, whatever you say it.
I mean, Taika, he's the guy who did Thor Ragnarok.
I like him. Like him, but don't give him the keys to the kingdom.
I mean, he can do like a great movie, and then he doesn't have to be running the entire thing.
Yes, let him come up with the direction of the movie and all that nonsense and stuff. But how about this? Say, make your movie. We'll see you in 6 weeks, however long it takes him to write, probably more than that. Then he comes back, knocks on the door. He goes, here you go. And they go, Dave, check his work.
Yeah.
And then let him do that with Jon Favreau. And maybe, you know, Kathleen can sit there too, whatever. You know, but let them look at what he does, check his work, and then say, okay, I see what you're trying to do with your overall story here, but you can't do this because it contradicts this. I like this idea, blah, blah, blah. Do that.
Yeah.
Because... Do that. And then it's fine. And then say, okay, now use your creative directing that you do. Make the movie the way you made Thor Ragnarok feel. Make it feel like it's fun. It's funny. It's colorful. Like do that with the movie, but let us control what happens in the movie.
Yeah, it's like it's sort of like the same sort of thing. Like, I don't think you would ever see like James Gunn doing Star Wars.
Yeah,
because James Gunn does his own little things and he makes his own like techniques. Where like DC's only giving carte blanche to do a bunch of stuff right now, but Star Wars does not do that.
Yes, and I'll be honest. This is gonna sound crazy, but I will be honest. You know who I want to see make a Star Wars movie?
Christopher Nolan.
Well, yes, but that's not crazy. Who do you think someone is? It sounds crazy, but I want them to. And it's not Tim Burton.
It's not Tim Burton.
It's not Tim Burton. That would be ridiculously crazy. This is something that I think would be crazy, but I actually think I want to see it. One guess.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Not bad, but no, I want to see a Zack Snyder Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I want to see something dark like that.
I just don't think they would ever go that direction.
They would not. But they would not. But I'll tell you, you know who would have done, and I liked Rogue One, obviously, we've talked about it 1,000 times. Imagine Rogue One in his style, like how dark it would be.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. And I'll sort of, we'll sort of wrap that part up here is that, like, for as well as seem to apply a plan for the TV shows, and they seem to have done a very good job of sort of weaving in that the Favreau running everything and all of that. They seem to have a good idea where they're going with that. They have no clue what they're doing with the movies. That's clear from reading this.
Maybe give Matt Reeves a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Matt Reeves will be tied with the Batman stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, I really hope. I really, really hope they go somewhere with that. I love that movie.
Yeah, like I think even, you know, like seeing stuff like that, like seeing them give like these talented directors a chance, like maybe the Russo brothers are hanging around. Maybe they haven't done anything since really Avengers. Maybe they're interested. You don't know.
Yeah. Now, the thing with them is, are they that good?
Well, I mean, they.
Like, I don't know what happens at Marvel because Feige has like the, as I've been saying, the keys to the kingdom, right? So, like, yeah. How much control do they have? How much is them as compared to Feige's? I don't understand like where the credit should go.
Yeah, well, that's also possible. But I will mention one last thing here. We'll go with one more article that came out the same day, not related to this. It was from Entertainment Weekly. I will link to this in the show notes as well. This is from Dalton Ross, and they talked about the possibility of Ahsoka and Boba Fett cameos. This information we probably wish we had when we did the character draft, which you'll hear next week on the preview podcast. Basically, they have said that they're trying to tie the cameos more to the prequels and the movies than the shows. So that makes it most likely. In theory, you're going to see an Ahsoka, a Boba Fett, like some of these Clone Wars characters. They're going to be more tied to the prequel.
I think you're more likely to see Qui-Gon, my guy, and maybe like Commander Cody or something.
Yeah, well, Cody was in the movie, so that makes sense then.
Yeah.
And Cody was
maybe Commander Cody. I don't know who else, but you know what I'm saying? Guys like that. Honestly, maybe Jar Jar shows up.
Yeah. He could.
Jar Jar's a lot. Maybe Dex, his friend from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I think you'll get one or two of those. I don't think you're going to get like a full on, like, you know, Clone Wars cameo party like we thought we might.
No, I'm a big fan of Dex, though. Would not be mad at all to see Dex make an appearance.
Yeah, and I think this is another one where I think they're very hesitant to, like, bring out the Clone Wars big guns to sort of terrify the casual audience who haven't seen much of it.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, that's sort of where we're wrapping up here. We'll be back next week on the podcast. The previously recorded Obi-Wan preview show, which will come out on Tuesday, and we're going to go through all of that. We did our character draft. We went through a bunch of stuff. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun seeing how that plays out before the premiere on Friday, Nick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If people want to follow you on Twitter, how can they do that?
NickFry_9. Mostly just retweeting stuff here. But you got to follow. You got to follow the Sky Guys Instagram. Sky Guys Podcast. We've been posting a lot of memes lately. We got a lot of good laughs, and we'll obviously post new episodes and stuff like that. And I gotta say, I got a few memes in the back burner, just like Rian Johnson's trilogy, that are ready to go up. So in the next couple of days, we'll see some more.
Absolutely. You can also follow me on Twitter, mphilis331. That's mphilis331. We'll be back next week.
Hold on. Do not forget, you can also follow Pete at pjconsadori29. Rangers moved on. That's what he'd be saying right now. Very excited to play the Hurricanes, and you'll be seeing a lot of hockey stuff with him.
Yeah, he'll be on there. It'd be funny. You'd like to listen to the Obi-Wan pre-show record it after they were down 3-1 in the first round, and we were not happy at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you can follow all of us on Twitter. Until then, check out this article. Let us know what you think. Leave us some feedback. May the force be with you guys.